Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WGR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri. Brought to you by Mighty Taco. Mighty Taco would go great right about now. By Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes. And by Dent Neurologic Institute, developing solutions to neurological problems faced in our community.
Good morning and welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Roger Weiss, Francis Beck, Frank Wolf on his way in, Tom Prince, WNY Athletics in the house. Hi, guys. As two just walks in right now. Morning, Rog.
Morning, y'all.
Oh, that was kind of like a down morning, y'all.
Yeah.
Well,
enthusiasm.
Well, you know, you guys, come on now. Don't get all over me. I have good reason. I mean, Dunkirk and Fredonia has been playing since what, 1893?
Something like
Albion and Medina have been playing since 1897. The Tondos has been serving meals for 114 years.
That's a long time.
They served their last meal last night.
Did you get one? No?
Negative.
I'm sorry to hear about the closing.
So how can you guys talk about high school football and stuff like that is going on?
Because
I don't understand.
That's what we're
somehow
here
we're
for.
Gonna find a way.
Yeah, we'll find a way.
You people are heartless.
Believe me, I'd like to talk about food, Rog, you know that. Maybe we'll do that in the breaks just to kind of help you along.
Well, every year you keep giving me a tease that we're going to have a taste of Western New York high school football. We're going to have a taste of Western New York high school football, and you find some cop-out reason, oh, well, I have to take care of my kids.
Well, I do have a game today. Sorry.
Jeez. One track.
But you would like the concession stand at Wilson High School, by the way.
Hey,
they have great stuff from what I'm told.
Speaking of Wilson, Frank, boy, you and Dennis hit a home run last night for the game you guys chose. Wow.
There's really nothing else I could say.
It only took you 2 hours to get there. I made that same ride home last weekend.
I've gotten lost coming home from there before. You're like, help!
Why, did you head back to Davidson's after the game as well?
Technically, yeah, because I thought I'd find the 90 or the Route 60 that way, but I don't know.
I mean, you found the 90 2 hours later, right?
By the way, what time did you get home?
I don't know. I was still watching the Red Sox. I was there to catch the end of the Red Sox game.
Wow.
Well, you could have caught that if you got home at 2:30.
Man, I conked out watching it.
Dylan Dreyer, who does the weekend NBC morning show, she says she woke up at 3 o'clock and freaked out because her husband wasn't next to her. He was still down on the couch watching the game.
Not the ending that I wanted, but oh well. We'll come back tonight, right, Frank?
But Anthony... The Reds had, like, what, the third or fourth worst team in the National League?
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Dodgers this year 6 out of 7, including 4 straight at Dodger Stadium.
Really? Oh,
and the Red
well,
Sox.
Well, that kid last night for the Dodgers, Bueller, he was lights out. Oh, my God. His stuff
Bueller.
Was filthy. Yeah, that's
Bueller.
What they do. His stuff was filthy. And it had the Red Sox batters baffled. But then when he came out of the game, they were able to at least tie it. And yeah.
Speaking of filthy, how about some of them high school games last night? Were they wild or what?
Amazing.
Like I say, Dennis and Frank had a home run. I went to Pioneer and Fredonia at Fredonia. What a, I still love that field, that old-time field at Fredonia. That's high school football. I'm sorry. And unfortunately, I guess I didn't pick one of the top five games last night in Western New York, according to the Buffalo News. I mean, the only two undefeated teams left, and that wasn't one of the top five games. I guess because they neither one of them were Erie County teams, they kind of got pushed into the back burner.
Oh no, Pioneer Fredonia absolutely was one of the top games.
All right, before we get into the games, guys, let's start off with news and notes. Get caught up as to what we need to know before we get going and talking about the games. We have games Wednesday night, Thursday night. Playoff games Friday night, and then we've got games today setting up for next week at the LID. Is that what you call it, Raj?
The LID? Nerf.
The Nerf? Okay. So we'll get you caught up to that.
It's a good one, though. I like the LID.
I do, too. I thought it was kind of... Raj, I will defer to you to start off news and notes.
Okay, well, I just want to say congratulations. I know his season didn't end on a positive note. But my buddy Rich Kozak, the Falcons
Frontier
soccer team got eliminated in the semis 9-0. I know Rich is quite disappointed and depressed afterwards. And he came around a day later and he talked to the people at the Hamburg Sun. He says, "Well, you put everything in perspective." And they did have to go into that last game without their two of their top players. Their seventh grade goalie, who's been all world this year, was out with a knee injury, and their top scorer was unable to play. And it looks good, 9-0, on the wrong side of 9-0. But Rich, if it's any consolation, and I know you disagree with me, just think what you would have been doing right now if you'd have lost 1-0. You'd have been tearing yourself apart. What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong?
Rich, still had a great year, though.
Rich, you're the best. Looking forward to watching you many years to come.
And Jonah, his son Jonah, had such a fantastic season.
Yeah, and also for Jonah as well. It's maybe, I think, subconsciously, that has to be part of why Rich was depressed, is because Jonah's last high school game did not end in a way you'd want to remember. But, like I say, great family. They mean a lot to me, and, I'm their biggest fan.
All right, well, I'm going to be talking about last games in a minute. Something that I posted on Facebook the other day that I'm going to want to talk about as well. Francis, what do you have for us, buddy?
Yeah, so last week I was out because I was down in Jamestown where Frank was last night covering the Section 6 girls tennis finals. A couple players are playing in states starting this morning. Grand Island's Kirsten Brown, Orchard Park's Jesse Hollins. Lancaster's Jaden McKee, they all qualify for singles, and the doubles teams are from Orchard Park, last week's winners Megadon Humiston and Zoe Watson, along with Chloe Eish and Madeline Ice from Clarence, and from Lancaster, Paige Samusiak and Emma Weidman. So good luck to them at states.
Yes, good luck, go get it. That it for you, or
that's it for me.
All right. Something I wanted to talk about. First of all, I want to talk about our game last week. And Tom, I teased it while we were doing the show last week how nervous I was. Oh, we're getting ready to go out, and we were playing playoff game, which essentially it's not, for a championship. It's more of the playoffs to see who was the best out of the basement dwellers in our league. We didn't exactly have a great season, so we were relegated to this, and thankfully NASA put together a nice little tournament for us to play in, and we did well. We won the first two playoff games. Last week, I put in one of my packages to kind of get our smaller guys in, so they were able to take the ball downfield and score, and they were up seven, convert on the I hate this sinus drip. So they were able to convert, get it up 7-0, and defense kind of stiffened up after that. We were stopping them. They had a couple of good runs, and it was just this way the whole game. Rainy, it was just miserable out. And about 5 minutes left, our offense started clicking a little bit, and a couple of our running backs had some nice runs, get the ball inside. the 5 yard line, a minute 20 left. We punch it in. Trailing 7-6 at this point, Chuck Fink decides to go for two. He wants to go for the win rather than the tie. And I turned to one of the other coaches, like, I can't watch. I turned around, and he goes, well, you converted. You guys are going to win. Well, it's still a minute 20, so obviously, so I said, no, we didn't win yet, but we're up 8-7. We kick off. They get the ball, and what was it? They, a couple of pass attempts incomplete. Then our safety picks it off. Like, all right, now he's running upfield. He gets tackled from behind, loses the ball. They pick up. They've got a fresh set of downs. Like, oh, no, we still have a lot of time to go, and they're deep into our territory. They go back to pass. We get a sack, push them back 10 yards. They go back to pass again. Interception seals the win. Kids go absolutely bananas, and that was a lot of fun. Anybody who's been around youth football, when you're around something like that, that, man, it's worth it. It just makes everything, all the time that you've put in it, it makes it so, like, you're, wow, that was great.
Yeah, if it makes you feel any better, Tony, I don't see any gray hairs on your head. So
I don't have any hair on my head, Raj.
Oh, well, that's my point. Either none of them are gray.
I shave them off. All right, so, you know, and it's something, and I posted this on Facebook, and it's something that Nicholas, my son, and I started discussing last year after our banquet, and that was whether he was going to continue to play football. Nick is not, anybody that knows him, he's not the most athletic kid out there. He has limited physical abilities. He had to go through therapy, much of physical therapy through much of his early years. When we started playing football 3 years ago, what we did in 2 or 3 months, physical therapy couldn't do in several years. So we were able to shed physical therapy. And, I mean, the strides he made was amazing from a physical standpoint. And he really loves the game of football. He loves being part of the team. But last year, knowing that this was going to be his last year on the Cobras, the 135s, I told him, you know, at the next level, it gets serious. And you're talking about modified age kids. The game is much more intense, much more physical, much more demanding. And I told him I didn't know if I wanted him to play at that level if he couldn't demonstrate that he could take care of himself. He didn't quite do that this year. And we had talked about it toward the last couple of weeks that maybe this will be it. I said, but we're not going to make a final decision yet. I said, you may go through a growth spurt during the winter, you know, get bigger, gain more confidence in your abilities. So I told him, let's put this decision off. And today could be the last time I walk off the field with him. And it's getting to me.
You know, Tony, we all do youth sports for various reasons, right? The one thing that you need to make sure that you know that you should be proud of is the young man that that boy is turning into.
Yes.
Because that's really what youth sports is all about. It's not the kids that are going off to Division I, even though we like to discuss it. It's not the kids that are going off to the next level. It's the kids that have memories of a lifetime.
Right.
Right? That's why we do those things, that you hope that memory is something that's going to be lasting there forever. That's what you've created for him. And that's the positive, really, that you need to take away, because it's an amazing feeling knowing that your son has come from where he was in that physical therapy to out there blocking people and doing all the things
Bless
that you,
you
thought he wasn't going to be able to do.
You know, and it's not that I, you know, had dreams of him going on to, you know, whether to play high school or anything beyond that. It's the bond and the fun that he and I have had going to practice every day, you know, helping him suit up, talking about games, talking about what we're going to do, and things like that. I mean, Nick's the type of kid, he'll get his toys, his little army guys, and he'll do offensive and defensive formations. He's a student of the game, which is another thing that I'm really proud of. And I love that. I love talking to, to him about those things. You know, this is why I do something with my defense, and this is why Coach Chuck and Coach Bobby do things with that they do with the offense. And that partnership that he and I have had over the last 3 years, you know, at the end of practice, we're taking the equipment off, putting it in the truck and headed home. And Dad, how did I do today? You know, that sort of thing. So that's the part that gets to me because it was so enjoyable. He may decide that he just wants to be a manager next year. And that's fine because I plan on coaching next year. I want to keep this going. I really enjoy it.
Anthony, how old is he now?
He's 11.
So he is 11 years old. He must be in sixth grade now?
Yes, sixth grade.
And next year would be modified, seventh and eighth?
Correct.
Is modified that intense? I could understand your viewpoint from a JV thing, but modified's really a big jump from...
The kids that I watch and our Vipers, our 165-pound team, they're very physical. And, I mean, they're flying around out there at this point. They know how to hit. They know how to use leverage to deliver a hit. You know, head to the side still. You're using your shoulder pads, doing all the proper things that are taught throughout USA heads-up football. But it's very physical. Nick has to be able to defend himself. As it is right now, when he comes out of the three-point stance, hands go up, which is what he's taught. But there's no physical, there's no lunge, there's no power behind any of it. Nick is more suited to pass block than he is to run block. You know, he could get his hands out there and he can keep you from bull rushing him backwards. But if you do have any kind of speed, goes side to side, he has no chance. So that's what, it's more of a safety issue for me than anything else. And like I said, he could grow. He could put some pounds on and be able to defend himself by then. But as of right now, I have to look at it this way.
Does he play any other sports?
Yes.
He does baseball.
He did baseball. He signed up for a basketball club this year at school, and he really likes that.
I'll tell you, those sports and people, you know, at a young age, some dads will say, oh, soccer, oh, anything but soccer. But I'm going to tell you, soccer is one of the best sports for young kids because they move in every direction.
Right.
And it helps with that footwork. Maybe an indoor soccer league
or sure.
something like that might be perfect for him. It'll teach him to have to move to his left, move to his right, and take all these different angles. That might help him with his footwork.
Yeah, I met the one of the soccer coaches at Niagara Falls High School, Rich Maranto, and that's something I may I know he's does stuff with PAL, and I may look in that direction if Nick wants it. You know, again, he has to want it, sure. But you know, it's just that I've had so much fun, like I said, over the last 3 years with him doing this, and it's something special.
And no doubt, and you should be to feel that way as a coach. But, you know, to address what you just said on modified, for those of you who know me, know I also have a son that's in the modified program with Luke. And, well, I'm going to tell you, I've seen some hitting on the modified games to the point where you even would scratch your head and say, wow.
Okay. Again, I'm yeah. not being no, familiar. No, no, no. no.
Again, I get that. It's just because it's not around there. But, I mean, I've seen some hitting. And you guys remember even the – do you guys remember the post I put out last year of Luke going against the kid that was 6 foot
yes!
tall on modified?
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, those kids are out there. I mean, you're talking about a kid that's gone through a growth spurt normally against a kid who hasn't gone through a growth spurt.
That's a big
so
difference.
It really is. Sometimes on modified, you see these kids where you're going, this kid should be playing varsity. Are you kidding me?
Tell me about it. This is a kid who went through his growth spurt after he graduated from high school. I know exactly what you're talking about. Anthony, to that, soccer, that will develop. If he has any athleticism that's on the back burner right now, that will bring it out. Agility and endurance are soccer's two of the four, you know, physical classifications. I mean, like I said, I still can't believe people can kick with their left foot and their right foot equally well. Like the girl from the first U.S. World Cup team who went to the Kansas
Mia
City.
Mia Hamm.
Yeah, and she was kicking 40-yard field goals with both legs.
And try it with the Chiefs.
And endurance, you know, the only bad part about soccer and cross country as they're in the same season, because if you were in opposite seasons, you would run cross country just to build up your endurance.
Well, Roger, you bring up cross country. Sport I did as a kid was track, which I thought did a lot for me as younger. One of the things about track, which is very nice, is that it's not only the athletic. There's like three types of athletes. There's the serious ones. There's the ones that's their second sport, and there's ones where it's kind of a communal thing. And track is one of the few sports where you can actually learn, you know, commingling skills, because you practice with the girls, and it's not like you're picking up girls or anything, but you it's another opportunity to meet new people, and sometimes people...
Tell us.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll never forget what my Aunt Millie told me. My aunt Millie had three boys. She passed away a few years ago. God love her. But she had three young boys, and then she signed them all up for track. Raymond was the athlete. Richie was there for the communal, and Joey was there for the girls. I'll never forget that.
Touch all basin.
And that's a true story.
All right, guys, let's get into the scores. We'll start with Wednesday night's games. If you go to WNY Athletics, you can follow along. We'll start with Wednesday night, where we had Iroquois beating JFK 42-36.
Very entertaining game, Anthony. Very entertaining. I was at that game.
East Aurora / Holland defeating Springville 14-7. And then we jump to Thursday night, October 25th. You had Clarence beating Hutch Tech 46-31, and I want to go by this email that I received today about John Stevens, who had four touchdowns to add to his record-breaking point total for the season, leads Clarence all-time scorer, also broke a 57-year-old school record for touchdowns receptions with 9, currently number one in New York State with total points. You have a Cleve Hill back who's number two. We'll probably get that today. John is currently second in TDs with 20. He had two pick sixes Thursday night along with two running touchdowns. Also with three-year starter, had 1,400 in the SAT and looking to pursue a career in the medical field. Also sophomore Zach Norton had another great game and will be a showstopper next week. Thank you, and I won't even mention who signed it because some player might get embarrassed, but good job, Pops.
At that game too, Anthony. Very impressive. I hope the fact that they're only that they were only a Funky Bowl champion and not a playoff team doesn't affect his status with the Conley Cup Committee.
Franklinville, Ellicottville beating Portville 27-14. Francis, do you have a score on Depew, Alden, and Will South in Jamestown?
I did research, and nothing came up on the Twitter sphere. I don't know if Frank has anything.
I believe Will South won. Jamestown looked really good, though. Savon Vinsickle played a bunch. But I'm pretty sure Will South came out on top of that one. Is that a Chunky Bowl final?
Yeah.
Funky Bowl? Yes, Will South won.
And Depew and Alden?
No, and Sean Brusso said he's going to beat us all up if we don't get a score quickly. I was threatened.
We'll get
him. He's going to beat us up.
That's what he said.
Calm down, Sean. Niagara Wheatfield beat Williamsville East 22-8. And then we're going to jump over to last night's games. And we'll start off with Bennett defeating Orchard Park 51-27. West Seneca West continues their winning ways with a one-point win over Star Point 50-49. You have West Seneca East beating Grand Island 30-13. Cheektowaga over Albion 28-6. You had Pioneer beating Fredonia Brockton 28-0. Southwestern nipping Wilson 45-44. Maple Grove beat Salamanca 38-7. And Lancaster 21, Williamsville North 20. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about the games and more. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. Oh, I'm loving the bumper music. But also, I'm upset that I'm going to miss the show, Metallica, tonight. Oh, man. What I'd give to be there.
You've seen enough of Metallica. You've seen them at their best.
I saw them in 1988, Monsters of Rock, or was it 87? Monsters of Rock Tour, the Master of Puppets, I think, had just come out. And I didn't know anything about Metallica. I just knew that they were a metal band. So I said, all right. They were playing with Dokken, Kingdom Come. Kingdom Come, Dokken. They were both terrible. Then Metallica comes out, and I was like, oh, my God. This band is amazing. And then after them, it was Scorpions and then Van Halen. And
blew him off the stage.
Metallica was just incredible. So I was. Ever since then, I've been a huge Metallica fan. In fact, Nick will say on the way to practice, "Dad, Master of Puppets." All right, here we go. So we get ourselves. I taught him how to get excited for a game by listening to some Metallica, and he loves Master of Puppets. By the way, anybody that is interested at Wilson High School today, 2:00. Nikki and I, our team, will be playing Pendleton for our last game of the season. Then tomorrow, I will be announcing the 12:00 game and 2:00 game behind LaSalle Preparatory School on Buffalo Avenue. NASA is having its Super Bowl Sunday. Our 165-pound team, Vipers, head coach Ron Cerrito's team, they'll be at 2:00. So I'll be there doing the announcing, having some fun. Looking forward to that. Should be exciting. Nice. All right, guys. You wanted to mention something about the Clarence game.
So you got to give Coach Bergio credit here. I mean, we all said 2 weeks ago, watch Lockport in an upset over Clarence, especially after them losing their star quarterback. He not only wins that game convincingly, then he comes back against a Hutch Tech team who gave Will North everything they could expect in the week before and wins that game. Give him credit for getting that team ready to go and two huge wins to finish off that season and make it a success. He deserves a lot of credit for that.
You know, and you talk about these, Chalk Monkey Bowl, the Class A one. This kid, Raekwon Smith of Niagara Refield, hadn't played football until modified. And he comes out his final game, 3 receptions for 103 yards, 2 touchdowns. There's a lot of stuff on Twitter and social media about whether we should have these extra games, that we should. This is why you have some of these games. This is the type of performances you have. It's about getting guys who aren't your starters into the game and having them make lifetime memories. This kid will never forget this night.
But not only that, but what are I think one of the benefits out of having the extra game is your underclassmen, your young guys, get more reps in practice and in the game. You get yourself ready for the following season. Look at college football. You know, that's why it's so important to go to a bowl game so that you have that extra time with your younger players to get those reps in. Any coach will tell you reps is so important.
Especially, too, the last game or two of the season, normally you get call-ups, too, from the JV squads up there. So those extra practices and getting in against older kids, seeing better competition, seeing all absolutely is tremendous.
You get some confidence at the end of the season. That gives you momentum going into the off season. Maybe that kid is going to work a little bit harder. He's going to go in the weight room. He's going to run on his spare time and get ready for next season.
Not only that, Anthony, and hats off to the late Chuck Funky, and Chuck, I just thought the world of Chuck Funky and all that.
Exactly.
He came up with this, especially after they went from 8-game seasons and only semifinals and finals to 7-game seasons and quarterfinals and all that. But that did take away at least one game from the lower echelon teams that failed to make the playoffs. This way, literally, every team has an opportunity to play 9 games now, whether you're 7-0 at the end of the season or 0-7. And some of these games are pretty competitive. I was at the game Wednesday at JFK. They played Iroquois. Final score, I believe, 42-36. It was a 1-touchdown game. Yeah, defense left on both sides of the ball, left a little bit to be desired, but it was a very entertaining game to watch, and the kids seemed to be having fun out there. And if it wasn't for the Chuck Funky Bowl and the matchup games, that would have never happened.
All right, I want to go to the phones right now and bring on Larry from Tonawanda. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
Good. We follow each other on Twitter, but I just want to say I'm I graduated in 95 from Gowanda, and I have nothing but a one 9-year-old daughter, so I have no boys or nothing, but I love high school football. And a friend of mine from work, he's like, hey, I know you like to go to games. He's like, my kid plays for West Seneca East if you want to go to that game. And I'm like, sure, it's in Grand Island. So I went last night. That was awesome. The fans for the East side, they were so pumped up. There's a cowbell ringing. And I think at one point they had the Grand Island fans just shushed. It was amazing. And then at the end of the game, one of the, so East wins, and I hear one of the cheerleaders go, woo, we're going to the roof. And I'm like, I got chills down my spine, and I'm like, that's what sports is all about.
Oh, absolutely, Larry. Yeah, I heard the atmosphere was absolutely incredible last night, and the East fans especially were so pumped up and well deserved. I mean, great game, they've had a great season. Now it's on to the lid, the Ralph, the whatever you want to call it, the Nerf. Thanks much, Larry. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate you listening each and every week, and all the stuff that he sends to me on Twitter. Much appreciated as well. Does a great job at following high school sports. All right, guys. Any game surprise you? I mean, first of all, the point totals surprises me. At this point in the year, to be putting up 50-plus points, wow. We saw that with Starpoint. We saw that with Bennett.
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise had to be the Starpoint-West Seneca-West game, right? I mean, you knew Aaron Chase and that offense had the capability of being able to put up those type of points, but we also felt that West Seneca-West had the various athletes to be able to hopefully shut down or be able to slow down
that offense. They have the defense
that
could do that, yeah.
But when you got West goes up 21-0, mm-hmm. and then Starpoint comes raring back.
Four unanswered?
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. You got to give Starpoint a ton of credit here. You really
sure.
do. But West Seneca West still just did what it needed to
They're
do.
A machine.
Show why it's the number one team ranked in the state right now. It's another win in a game that they could have easily let go, and they won.
I'm sorry, Frank. I think the biggest surprise in that game, if you had told me Starpoint would have scored 49 points. I mean, West Seneca West is good, but 50 points? Yeah. I haven't seen that from them.
Yeah, good
point. And it's going to be a rematch from Week 7. You'll see the two West Seneca teams at New Era Field. I'm looking forward to that one.
That's amazing.
That yeah.
That's absolutely
unfinished
amazing.
Business.
Well, we speculated that it could happen.
We thought it was going to happen last year, but South Park was able to come up big in that semifinal
That's right.
game over them.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, West Seneca, get ready. You better show up over at New Era Field. Show exactly your...
Could you be a little more specific? You said West Seneca, get ready.
The whole town better be there. You better be there.
It's by design that you made it ambiguous.
Absolutely.
I understand.
This better be full West Seneca in that game.
They come out for hockey, so they will be out there.
Yeah, no. Really. I think equally surprising, though, did anybody expect Wilson to hang the Southwestern? Like I say,
Actually, yes, I did. They last year, I think, was 28-27.
Almost the exact same scenario. I told you and Dennis on the way, you can see an upset today. This is the thing about Wilson and Southwestern. Wilson matches up really well with Southwestern. Wilson doesn't exactly match up well with Cleve Hill.
Oh, well, he lost to Cleve Hill by a touchdown.
Yeah, they had a few touchdowns taken back. But still, I'm going to tell you something. It was an unbelievable football game. They were down 35-20. They roared back. The Lakemen did. But I'm going to tell you, the one thing I'm going to remember for a long time is, now, these are two teams with a lot of history. They've played a lot of tight games like this. But there was no hitting after the play. There was no taunting. There was no bad language. These two teams respected one another. They played hard, left it all on the field. And after the game, they shook hands like gentlemen. And it was a lot of respect from both coaches. I want to make sure those coaches understand. They do a phenomenal job. But the one thing, Coach Bill Atlas from Wilson is addressing his team. And obviously, they're hurting. But Steve Frerichs, the quarterback, recognized one of his players that had left halfway early in the second half. He went out, number 54, a sophomore lineman went out, bad leg injury. He was trying to hobble back onto the field to listen to his coach one last time. Frerichs runs out to greet the player and helps carry him over to the pen. And that is I'm going to remember that for probably as long as I do this. But Steve Frerichs, an unbelievable football player. He was great last night. Cole Snyder was amazing, too. But that's the one thing I'm going to remember from that game for as long as I do this. Steve Frex, just a class kid, and I went into the locker room after. Those kids, they were down, they were out, but it's a family. They were hugging each other and, you know, like a team. It was a great atmosphere in the Wilson locker room after the game, even after defeat.
I hope Coach Atlas stops by today at 2. I'd love to be able to chat with him.
Any truth to the rumor that the Wilson team got back to Wilson before you and Dennis made it home?
Probably.
They just got back a little while ago.
I think they took a wrong turn and ended up in Erie, Pennsylvania or something.
You know, Tony, I'll also tell you the other game to me that was the shocker was the Bennett Orchard Park game.
I don't think I'm surprised about the outcome. I thought it'd be closer.
Right. So there are two things that we've all said before the game. One, if I would have told you that Bennett was in a 4-5 receiver set all night, would you have believed me before the game?
No. What? No.
4-5 receiver set all night long, passed the ball all over the place. He changed everything for that Orchard Park game. McDuffie deserves a lot of credit. I mean, he actually went in and changed everything for this game. And then when he ran the ball for the most part. He did have a power package that he ran out of, but he ran off those four. He'd have four wide receiver sets, the two on each sides, and he ran off that. And with Orchard Park being so spread out, he was effective on the run too.
Sure, because now you can't bunch up to stop the run. You've got lanes. If your interior line creates enough space, you're golden.
And then the other thing we also said, before the game, there will be a time that Bennett would probably blow up. Everybody had said that, right?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't Bennett who blew up. It was Orchard Park that blew up. Personal foul penalties all over the place. There was an ejection in the game. It was totally the opposite of what you saw, what you'd expect to happen inside the game.
Very uncharacteristic.
Yeah. Give McDuffie a lot of credit. He deserves it. He got that team ready to go. They played. I got to tell you, watching them offensively, you couldn't stop them. They were that good, I'll tell you, out in the field.
That's going to give Lancaster something to think about.
You know, Smith to Pompey, I think, went for 3 touchdowns.
That's correct. An 80-yard and 230-yard touchdown passes all in the second half. Because at halftime, it was, 26-21. So it was a ball game coming back onto the
Dennis
field.
Dennis brought this up yesterday. Has any other school gone to the Nerf in 4 different classes?
I don't think so. I'd be amazed.
Has any other school gone in 3 classes? Possibly Enwell or one of those.
Yeah. Maple Grove, 2?
They've never been up to B. They haven't even been close to B.
No, I'm saying that's why I said 2 classes.
Right.
So that's the most I've seen.
And, Tony, if I could just do one more thing. You have been a coach. I've also been a coach. And I've had the opportunity to coach some of these people in Orchard Park for years.
Mm-hmm.
And if I hadn't coached them, I've coached against them or I've coached – my sons played as a player on their team. And, you know, I want to give just a special kind of shout-out myself to some of those seniors that will be playing their last game in Archie Bartolotti, Pearson Savarino, Louis Irizarry. There's some great kids out there I think the absolute world of. And then, of course, as you guys know, my son Jordan Prince also played his last football game. You know, it was a one-year thing because he hadn't played since he was in seventh grade. I just want to just say, is very proud of the way you guys played this season. Great season, and I look to forward what the next chapter is in your lives.
I can't wait to see Pataki next year.
Yeah.
He's an unbelievable football player.
Let's take a break. When we come back, let's go through some of the matchups that are going to happen at the stadium, as well as where we are with Monsignor Martin. So we'll have all of that. Don't forget Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11. And then tonight, Sabres and Columbus right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. We're back. One last segment of Inside High School Sports and Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11. Talking about the matchups going on this week or be next weekend at the stadium. We started off with Lancaster against Bennett. Rematch game. Bennett was the only team to defeat Lancaster. Now what happens?
Two extremely well-coached teams. McDuffie is 1-0 against Rupp this season. Bennett was the first team to knock off Lancaster in, 3 years?
Yep.
So, Lancaster lost that Sean Davis kid halfway through the third quarter, in the third quarter, just after returning a kick. And it was a ball game until Davis went out. Then that Bennett offense, Lancaster couldn't stop Bennett after that, unfortunately for them. they lose the game. But you want to give Eric Rupp a second shot at somebody? Sean Brusso, that coaching staff that Lancaster has, those kids. There's not a single selfish player in Lancaster.
It's
not
all
a
Brusso,
single
by
one.
The way. It's all Sean Brusso.
So I have a hard time betting against them.
Like Colley and Shinsis, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And you know what? As Tom said, Bennett's already shown their cards. They've shown their ace out of the card last week.
Yeah, but McDuffie's also shown that he can adapt and come up with something different.
Right.
So you have to sit back. Now you've got more to prepare for. Wait a minute. Yes. We prepared this much for them the first time. Now they come out and they throw in that four or five wide receivers. That throws another wrinkle in. That's going to take more time away from your practice as you're going to prepare for multiple offenses.
And if Lancaster loses the game, it's because the better team won. If Bennett loses the game, it's because of the officials, right?
Well, a lot. You can make that statement for almost so many teams in Western New York, whether it's Little League or high school or college.
Yeah, there's history there, though.
I think Bennett has to win the first half big. I think if it's close as halftime, you know how Coach Rupp is. He makes the adjustments at all time. If it's close coming out of halftime, I like Lancaster.
You know, first you got to give Lancaster credit for the win over Will North, right? Oh, a 21-20 game. Wow. I mean, you come out of there, and
losing.
To be honest with you, those were the matchup which was probably the two hottest teams in AA coming into the Final Four, right? And then Bennett now has said, "Whoa, we're just as good," and proved their point against Orchard Park. But I'm going to tell you, I've said it, and you've heard me say it multiple times. I still believe Lancaster is one of the best coaching staffs in Western New York.
Absolutely.
And they are going to have that team ready. That is going to be a close game. Could come down to the last possession.
It's going to be a fabulous
game. That's the AA game. West Seneca West, West Seneca East, another rematch. Coach Vastola versus Marino. You know, again,
rival game. I mean, come on.
It is a rival game, but West Seneca West just have...
This is like Joe's and Canisius playing for a championship.
You can go down. But I mean, this is town. This is that Cheektowaga Maryvale matchup from last year, right? This is town within town, is what it is.
Yeah.
These kids all played Little Loop together. These kids played, you know, baseball together. This is a town versus town scenario. You don't get up for this one. You ain't gonna get
social
up for
media
game.
Should be fun leading up to this one.
You know, I was at the West Seneca East Grand Island game last night, and Grand Island actually had West Seneca East on the ropes for most of that game. It was a quick hit blocked punt that turned the game around early in the second half. I don't think if that happened, I think Grand Island would have been going to the stadium.
Monster game, Pioneer Cheektowaga.
Can't wait.
Rematch.
Again, they played that game with terrible weather conditions, but Mike Riggerman, there's something about that kid that just kicks it into another gear.
That's what it is.
Come second half. You know, Cheektowaga, they were in that game.
Missing some players, too, right?
Cheektowaga was missing one of their linebackers.
Because right. His name? The quarterback had to play linebacker, which he normally did not.
That's right.
It looked like Pioneer blew them out, but it was a close game at halftime. Yeah. Beal was sacked as they were about to score going into the second half, so that could have changed everything.
Raj, Class D. How do you see that playing out?
And my old reliable line, if Charlie Sierra Papa.
Oh, come on! That's pepperoni.
No, that's military language for CSP.
Okay.
If they don't win that game, there should be
an investigation.
Exactly. I cannot see that being...
Don't you count off Randolph today. They have a good shot at going for the state.
Do
winning the state.
Not count off Randolph-Frewsburg today. They're bringing in one of the best lines in Western New York, probably the best lineman in Western New York in Bernard. If they can stop that running game, Randolph has a chance. But no one's been able to do that yet.
We'll see how that plays out. All right, guys, we have a little bit more time left. Monsignor Martin, what are we looking at here?
We're at Canisius O'Hare at 1 o'clock. Tom and I are doing the play-by-play, mixler.com/WNYAthletics. Going to be a great game. I know Canisius, a lot of people think they're going to roll O'Hare today. They will not. This will be a tough game. And I can't wait for it to start.
O'Hare is a program on the rise right now, I think.
They have a lot of seniors. They have a lot of seniors there.
And they have some talent coming in. I'm under you know, I have information that tells me they're getting
you have special intel.
But, yeah, they're, again, they're getting some close good players games, Tony, already. They played. They played some real close games already with
St. Francis, right?
They're going to be in this game. Do not underestimate them because they will be in this game. And, in fact, a lot of people were saying, we get back to the officials, that was the biggest complaint that came out of that Franny's O'Hara game, that there was some sort of official thing. Well, now you got your shot because now you got the big boys coming
and
in.
O'Hara cannot play for the Monsignor Martin State Championship.
No.
This is their state championship
Absolutely.
Today.
So they're totally going to lay it on line. But, and I'm going to give them credit because they're smart. They've been coming to Niagara Falls and doing their homework on some of the kids up there. So good for them.
Yeah, this will be a good game.
While we're on Monsignor Martin, jumping ahead, what do you think of next week, St. Joe's, St. Francis semi?
I think St. Francis is going to come back and win that one.
I don't know. St. Joe's is onto something here. They that freshman kid that's come out of nowhere all of a sudden.
They got
Saint
the line. Joe's
Ritz is going to play a full game. I think that's going to be enough for St. Francis.
How do you know?
He goes you think he's going to go out
they
again
stop.
Two games in a row?
They couldn't
give you the
stop.
Chances?
They couldn't. They can't stop anybody.
They couldn't
that's
stop
the
O'Hara.
St. Francis has struggled
well, that's
on
what
the
I'm saying. Yeah. I said St. Francis can't stop anybody.
But did you see the highlights of Doty catching the touchdown pass for St. Joe's? You know, big 300-plus pound lineman. There he is. Oh, he's wide open.
Looked like Victor Cruz out there.
I thought it was Odell Beckham Jr. I was expecting to see the one-hand grab.
Aaron Chase set a record, I believe. 2009, Joel Okada set a record for touchdown passes in a single season. I believe with the five touchdowns Chase threw yesterday.
Yeah, I think he needed three to tie.
He needed three, and so he's up two. Now Cole Snyder gets another week to play. He threw three touchdowns yesterday, so
I believe Malik Brooks last week set a single-season record for receiving yards from Lockport, so congrats
to
him.
That's right.
Yeah. So I believe he got an offer to UB as well, he put on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
So
outstanding.
Good for him.
Has one of those invited walk-ons or actual scholarship?
He's on the radar.
He's on their radar,
and that's important.
Yeah, I like St. Francis, but they got a lot of work to do on defense, so they're not gonna win.
All right, guys, we're gonna sign out now and say goodbye for the week. Next week, we're talking about the games at the stadium. Keep track of WNY Athletics online. Keep you going to Facebook Inside High School Sports. A lot of stuff put out there, so you're gonna want to check that out. Go Cobras! We'll talk to you next week with more.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.